Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered the Jews, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will also do. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not pass to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. And he gave him the power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
From the beginning of the fourth week of Lent through the middle of Holy Week, we will ponder the Gospel of St. John. At the beginning, there were a couple miracle scenes, but starting today for the next 2 weeks, we get some of the densest passages at all in Sacred Scripture. And so I'm going to ask you to please be awake when you come to Mass each morning, because there's a lot here, and it's not easy to get. We're not going to be able just to profit off our composition of plays, meditating on the dramas in each scene. We've got to pay much more attention to the words and the truths to which Jesus points. We remember what the whole point of Lent is. It's to unite us to the Father. It's to make us more and more like the Father. We fast to hunger for what God hungers. We pray in order to take on the Father's mind, going to that inner room where we can speak to him in secret. We give alms of ourselves and what we have, precisely so that we can be conduits of the providence of the Father. And in this second phase of Lent, as we ponder the meaning of our baptism, we look at it primarily through the image of our divine filiation. Three Sundays in the middle are all about the three principal things of baptism. With the Samaritan woman, we've got water. With the man born blind, we've got light. And with Lazarus coming up this Sunday, we will have life. And in each of those, God is the source of that power in that water. God is light. And God is life. So these are the parameters in the base of which we're going to contextualize all that God reveals to us through the Gospel of St. John as we round the corner and head toward the Paschal Mysteries. Today, Jesus reveals three things about the Father, which shows us three ways in which we are to relate to the Father. He came down to make possible this type of communion. The first is about the Father's work. The Father, like any father, is a worker, and Jesus was basically being hated by the Jews because he revealed that he had a relation with the Father, as Father. So Jesus was going to reveal not just characteristics about God the Father, but about every dad. My Father is at work until now, and so I am at work. I am imitating the Father's work. What is that work? It's the work that's fundamentally gracious and merciful. It's the work of mercy. It's the work of charity. The scribes and the Pharisees had a huge issue with Jesus' working on Sunday. Even deeds of saving life, even things of healing a man who was 38 years crippled, because they thought that the Sabbath day meant to rest from charity, to rest from loving. And Jesus described the Father as someone who is a full-time worker, who doesn't really take days off. He rested on the Sabbath in order to do a different type of work, a work of refreshment, work precisely of restoring us. And so Jesus mentions the Father's work, and he copies that work. Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will also do. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you all may be amazed. Jesus is going to do the amazing works of the Father. As we think about the Father and his charity and how he constantly seeks to do these works of charity, our first way of responding to the Father that we're supposed to grow in this Lent is allowing the Father's work to happen in us. Like the Marian response, let it be done to me according to your will, according to your word. We could say according to your work of sanctification, your work of making us ever more sons in the Son. That work of charity is ongoing. You know, and at the end of today's first reading, we have a passage which is particularly important in your work in fostering a real culture of life. Isaiah talks about God's mercy with that feminine image of the Rahamim. Can a mother forget her infant, be without tenderness for the child of her womb? We know that unfortunately sometimes that is the case. And it's one of the principal works of the devil to try to drive a wedge between mother and child. Through euphemisms, through bad science, through straight-out pressure. There is that attempt in the culture of death. But God wants to triumph over it. Even should she forget, even if a mother could ever forget, I will never forget you. God's love is full-time. He'll never forget us, even in our worst days. Even should everybody else forget, he won't. And so, because God doesn't forget, and because by his memory he holds us into existence at every moment, we should allow that work to be accomplished in us. Second thing Jesus reveals today is that he gives life. This is the greater work than these when Jesus starts raising from the dead, as we're going to see with Lazarus on Sunday. The Father raises the dead and gives life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. This is an exercise of the fatherhood. You know, Miletus of Sardo, one of the great early writers of Christianity, is not a doctor of the church, he could be. But he talked about Christ's own fatherhood because of this principle of divine life that Christ gives, that the Father is a life giver. And so Jesus talks about how he seeks to imitate the Father in giving this type of life. Amen, amen, I say to you, and this is the way that it happens. Whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life, has passed from death to life. Amen, I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he also gave the Son the power, the possession of life in himself. Whole purpose of this Lenten season, whole purpose of human life is to receive that greater life of God, to know God, to hear his voice and to obey it with faith. That is the means to this Zoe, to this higher form of life that will never be extinguished. Jesus seeks to bring us fully alive. The way that we respond to that work of the Father through the Son is allowing him to vivify us in every way he wants. Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. And the only thing stopping it is our resistance in one form or another. But to say fiat to that life-giving capacity is so key. For us as spiritual dads and spiritual moms, we receive that life. We grow in our gratitude for our affiliation, and at the same time, we're transformed by it, so that modeling the love of the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, we might be able to spiritually nourish others. Precisely by helping them come to life by hearing the same Word of God enfleshed in our existence and learning how to follow us and following the Lord. The third thing Jesus reveals today about the Father, about the Son, about the way we're supposed to respond, and about the way we're supposed to imitate, is about judgment. Jesus says the Father doesn't judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that they may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And he gave him the power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Don't be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all in the tombs will rise, those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, and those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. And he finishes that he's not judging arbitrarily. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear from the Father. And my judgment is just, because I'm not seeking my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. When we hear this word judgment, a lot of the times, because of the way we've been formed, we think that judgment means condemnation. We're afraid of judgment. We're afraid to be judged. That's part of it. But the emphasis of it needs to be that it's in the judgment of the Lord that he also judges us to have heard the word of God, to have obeyed, to be a good and faithful servant. Judgment is something that Pope Benedict wrote about in Spe Salvi, to which those who aspire to please the Lord should look forward. Should look forward. Just like a good student prepares for a test, just like an athlete gets ready for a championship game with excitement rather than dread. So Jesus wants us to live in such a way that we anticipate with a humble eagerness this judgment of the Lord. Because those who have done good deeds will be judged toward the resurrection of the life. What does the aspect of judgment reveal about the Father? That the Father has standards. That the Father loves us so much that he prepares us for those standards. But that the Father, likewise out of love, if we choose not to adhere to them, is going to honor that choice. The Son comes in order to teach us those standards of the Father, to show us the way to receive and respond to His covenant. And then our response to this is not to be filled with horror. Our response to this is thank you. Pope Benedict wrote in Spe Salvi that the judgment of the Lord is what gives hope to the world, that the evil that we encounter isn't going to have the last word, that in the final analysis, God will judge the living and the dead. And so those who have done evil will be held accountable. And those who do good, He will say, as often as you did it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. For us hearing this, we not only are called to be motivated, but we're called to help everybody else get ready for that final exam of life. Not with dread, but with gratitude and love, so that we know that life has consequences. Throughout this neo-catechumenate, we could call it, of the Lenten season, preparing for the renewal of baptism, as we relate to the Father in each of these three ways, we recognize that His work is ongoing in us, so we don't have to be discouraged if we're still works in progress, because the Father is trying to bring His work in us toward continual progress. To experience ever more the life that He gives us, welling up within us to eternity. And to recognize that every day is a day of judgment, a day in which we can hear the voice of the Son of Man and believe in it, so that through imitating and putting into action those words, we may get ready to hear that voice that will come later to the resurrection of life. The way we prepare every day is here at the altar, which the Saint Jesus who spoke these words in the Gospel says, "This is my body, this is my blood. Do this in memory of me." This is the Father's greatest work, and it continues until now. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.